Living on the coast, energy and dancing. Living on the coast. This was the Keshe term for the period of sexual celibacy expected of all adolescents. For a long time, I found this custom anomalous, uncharacteristic of the valley culture as a whole. These people who sought a realistic and undemanding attitude towards sexuality, avoiding excess both of indulgence and of abstinence, whose style of control and self-control was one of ease, not of rigidity, seeking grace rather than rule, and whose children were at the center of their world, why did such people come down on adolescence with such an extreme demand so sternly enforced? For a while, I explained it to my own satisfaction by connecting it to the Keshe prejudice against early parenthood, which was very strong as their prejudice against bearing, siring more than two children, and no doubt related to it, rationally enough. Big families start with young parents. Whatever elements of reason lay at its root, however, the attitude was passionate. They considered early parenthood to be unwise, unhealthy, and degrading. Pregnancy in a girl under 17 or 18 was always aborted, I was told, and the shame involved concerned the pregnancy, not the abortion. A boy in his teens who fathered a child was treated with such contempt by his townsfolk that he might be driven to exile or suicide. But still, why celibacy? After all, due to genetic damage from ancient catastrophes, the rate of conception was rather low, and the rate of full-term healthy birth very low by our standards, and contraceptives, condoms, diaphragms, and sponges of milkweed rubber and other materials, and herbal spermicides, compounded by the doctor's lodge, were effective, available, and completely socially approved. Boys and girls by the age of 10 knew all the uses of contraceptives, and most of them had used them, for children's sexual play was taken altogether for granted, indulged, and even encouraged. Along around the age of 10, however, the children themselves began to abandon sexual play because they wanted to outgrow it, to imitate the celibate adolescence. But why, just as the sexual urge began to declare itself and reach power and potency, this ban, this unnecessary absolute reversal? When I finally saw the period of celibacy as a reversal, I began to see it as fully characteristic of the culture of the valley. Explaining this will involve discussing a couple of key words, which were first discussed in the section on the Serpentine Codex. Heia. The first element of this word, he, or heia, is the untranslatable statement of praise, greeting, holiness, being sacred. The second is the word ia. This means a hinge, the piece of hardware or leather that connects a door to the opening it closes and opens. Connotations and metaphors cluster thick to this image. Ia is the center of a spiral, the source of a gyring motion, hence a source of change as well as a connection. Ia is the eternal beginning, the process of energy arising and continuing. The word for energy is iye. Energy manifests itself in three principal forms, cosmic, social, and personal. The cosmos, the universe, was usually referred to rather casually in Keshe as ruwe, all this. There was a more formal and philosophical word, em, meaning extent and duration, or space-time. Energy, in the physicist's sense, the fundamental power incontrovertible with matter, was emie. Ostode described weaving or the weave of a fabric, bringing together, relating, and so was used to mean society, the community of being, the fabric of interdependent existences. The energy of relationship, including both politics and ecology, was ostoudie. Finally, personal energy, selfhood of the individual, was sheie. The interplay of these three forms of energy throughout the universe was what the Keshe called the dancing. The last of the three, selfhood or personal energy, ramified into another set of concepts, which I shall treat very summarily. Personal energy was seen as having five main components relating to sex, mind, movement, work, and play, each with an inward coming and outward going aspect. 1. Lamaye, sexual energy. Lamawoye, the energy that goes into sex. Freudian libido. 2. Yaye, extroverted thought. Yaiwoye, introverted thought. 3. Daoye is kinetic energy proper. Shevdaoye is energy expressed in athletics, traveling, all bodily skills, labors, activities. Shevdaowoye, personal movement, is the body itself. 4. Ayaye, playing, learning, teaching. Ayawoye seems best translated as learning without a teacher. 5. Sheiye, personal energy, considered as work. The basic activities of staying alive, getting and preparing food, housekeeping, the arts, and work of life. Shewoye, work directed inward, work towards personhood or selfhood, might be translated as soul-making. To be alive was to choose and use, consciously or not, well or ill, these energies in a manner appropriate to one's stage of life, state of health, moral ideals, and so on. The deployment of Iye was really the principal subject of education in the valley, in the home, and in the Heimas, from infancy till death. Personal energy was, of course, a personal matter. The individual made the choices, and the choosing, wise or foolish, mindful or careless, was the person. But no choice could be made independent of the superpersonal and impersonal energies, the cosmic, social, self-relatedness of all existences. Another word very important in Kesh thinking, tuavyai, mindfulness, might be described as the intelligent awareness of this interdependence of energies and beings, a sense of one's place and part in the whole. Now, finally, as all these abstracts might be applied to an actual life in the valley, a baby existed more in terms of physical energy and relationship, emie, ostoodie, than as a person. As the child grew, its outward-going personal energy, sheie, got going and began to differentiate, first into moving about and playing and learning, shevdaoye, ayaye, the proper activities of the young, not to be hindered or pent, or, in Blake's term, curbed. More slowly, the energies of sex and mind, lamaye, yaye, would develop and find expression, still mostly outward-going, extroverted. And in the years called clear water, for girls, 9 or 10 till regular menstruation, and sprouting, for boys, 10 or 11 till full puberty, personal energy proper, the person working, would emerge. With adolescence, all these outgoing centrifugal growing energies began to be doubled by the inward coming centripetal energies of the mature human being. The adolescent had to learn how to balance out all these forces and so become a whole person, a person entirely, yeweishe. The means of doing so with economy, intelligence, and grace was the regulation of energies. And here we come back round to the rule of celibacy, the reversal. Children were going towards sexual potency. Adolescents, as they attained it, turned from it. At the time they became able to work as sexual beings, they ceased to do so, consciously, by choice. All the outgoing energies were now to reverse, to come back into the center, to work in the service of personhood, at its most vulnerable and crucial stage. In this reversal, the young person becoming went elsewhere, to those inward places where the unborn wait to be born. The image is mental and physical. What goes on in the head and what goes on in the testes and ovaries are not separable events. They went to live on the coast. When they had made that journey, when they had gone there, they were ready to come inland, to come home. Of course, the understanding willing choice was an ideal. In practice, most young people undertook celibacy out of mere social conformity, obediently, and because its rewards were considerable. One started living on the coast with a celebration at home, a ceremony in the Heimas, and a whole wardrobe of new clothes. and the adolescent in undyed clothing was held in honor and treated with a notable tenderness. One was supported by the entire fabric of relationships, kin, house, bond, lodge, art, and town. And how long one lived on the coast really was up to the individual. The celibate period might be only a year or so, or might go on into the early 20s. All that was to be avoided was the extreme, early promiscuity or obsessive asceticism. Living on the coast, then, was the beginning of living mindfully. It was a hinge act. From it would arise the work of being a person, itself part of the work of relationship, and that part of the universal work, the river flowing, the dancing, the turning of the galaxies. Weia heia, everything hinges, is holy. Wakwa. The phrase translated as regulation of energies, Iyevkwa, is a technical term, Kesh psychotechnological jargon, Heyamas language. In ordinary talk, the element kwa turns up only in the word wakwa, a very common word and a very complicated one. It can mean a spring, running water, the rising or the flowing of water, to flow, to dance, dancing, a dance, festival, ceremony, or observation, and a mystery, both in the sense of obscure or unrevealed knowledge and in the sense of the sacred means by which mysterious being or knowledge may be approached and revealed. As Micah, my teacher, said to me, the word is a small bag to hold so many nuts. An actual spring or current of water is usually specified as Wakwana. The town at the headwater and principal spring of the Na River is Wakwaha, springway. This word, as an ordinary noun verb, Wakwaha, means the course of the water as it leaves a spring, the way it goes. A very potent image and concept in Kesh thought. It also means dance way, the way a dance is danced, the way a ceremony is ordered, the order of happenings in an event, the direction an action tends. The pattern or figure made by an event or process is Wakwaha'if. Wakwa as mystery takes two forms. Wegaten huya, wakwa, literally sent behind wakwa, means mystification, the occult, rites or knowledge deliberately hidden or unrevealed. Go wakwa, the dark dance, means mystery itself, the unknown, the unknowable. To the sun rising, the Kesh said, Heya, heya, in praise and greeting. To the darkness between the stars, they spoke also, saying, Heya go wakwa.